What's going on, y'all? Y'all need to be in here when we start up because me and Tyrone just went 5 minutes with everything that took place on Saturday with the Sixers. What's happening, y'all, as we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, Devon Givens with you until 7:45 tonight as we lead you into seeding game number two for the 76ers as they take on the San Antonio Spurs. Hope you guys all had a great weekend. I know a lot of you did not because, yes, you got the Flyers win. Fantastic win from them. But the 76ers, of course, did not do their part. So here we are today looking at them 0-1 in the restart of the NBA season. Their games, of course, as we know, right here on the Fanatic, starting at 8 o'clock tonight. You heard it on Saturday. You watched it as well. And it was infuriating. But we'll get to that. We have an abbreviated show, so we're going to run quickly through a lot of things. We will give everyone their time. We will hit the brakes when we do. But you know how we're going to do it. We're going to give everyone an opportunity to say their piece about the 76ers because, yes, I was not on postgame. We weren't in the post on Saturday, so I have a lot of thoughts. But let's start off with let's recognize what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles as Josh Rabick is producing the show. Doug Peterson testing positive for COVID-19. A big blow to the Philadelphia Eagles on the heels of Lane Johnson and two other players, Nate Gary, Jordan Mailata as well. So something, when it popped up, when it was sent to me, it was like, not here again. We're already going through the Phillies mess that they have with COVID. Now we have to deal with the Eagles already with Lane Johnson, Mailata, and Gary, and now Coach Doug Peterson. He says he feels fine, but of course he has to do all the positive, do the testing, come back with two negative tests before they allow him to come back. It's going to take a couple of weeks. Luckily, it's the start of the season, so we're not in season where we have to worry about him missing games and how that will now impact the Philadelphia Eagles and their offensive side of the football and what they do and how they get into everything in regards to their play calling and all. Right now, Deuce Staley will be the interim head coach. In the meantime, a lot of things on Zoom. No pads until, the 9th, I think Anthony said, the 9th of this month. So time for him to heal up, time for him to get right, and we will see Doug Peterson hopefully back on the sidelines when it's right sooner rather than later. Also, the Flyers, as we mentioned, the one bright spot for the winter teams this weekend as they bounce back to game one of their round robin play with a big 4-1 victory over the Boston Bruins. A fantastic win for them, coming out there with that energy again, getting that lead after the first period, 2-0 lead after that, giving up one, and then boom, right back. They bounce right back. The defense was phenomenal. You heard Mike talking about it, Jason, on Sunday. The lines, just the way that the lines, we've talked about it all year long, the fact that they have this depth and they can just roll in line after line after line after line, all four lines, with so many pieces that help out. A young Carter Hart in net doing a tremendous job against a great Boston Bruins. That team is good. And the Flyers, again, beat that Boston team. So while we're fretting over the Philadelphia 76ers, worried about the Philadelphia Phillies getting things back added on the field of play, and they haven't played in over a week, the Philadelphia Eagles worrying about when and if they wind up playing theirs, the Flyers once again going about their business, getting the job done, picking up a nice 4-1 victory over the Boston Bruins on Sunday. They won't take the ice again until Thursday, so you have a little bit of a break until you get your hockey in there. And Mike Raffle, you don't want to hear about injuries in any way, like Jonathan Isaac for the Orlando Magic, torn ACL. Feel bad for him. Of course, knowing what that injury personally feels like now, you always feel bad for them. Now I feel bad for him even more with him tearing his ACL. So great win by the Flyers. We'll take your phone calls on that as well. We'll get into it all about what it means and having a coach like AV, Alain Vigneault, and how good he has been for the Philadelphia Flyers. This is only going to go to what it means for Brett Brown and the 76ers when we've talked about it. How many years is he going to get? He's been here 7 total. He is now a back-to-back 50-win coach. This year, we don't know that they would not or would have gotten to 50. They had 39, right? An opportunity to get to 50. What is it about him that would warrant him to return for another season. We understand due to COVID, would that change things on how they decide to go about the coaching position for the 76ers? But when you look again at an opportunity to change, we talk about Nick Nurse, how I said he should be coach of the year in the NBA because of the tremendous job he's doing with the Toronto Raptors. They are 2-0 already in their field. Is it 2 or 3? 2-0 in their play so far. And they beat the Lakers and the Miami Heat today. That's a very good team. You knock off Dwayne Casey out of his spot, who was coach of the year that season, bring in Nick Nurse, add Kawhi Leonard, they win. Alain Vigneault, the same thing. So you know what happens here for Brett Brown if they don't turn things around, a first-round exit, an early exit in these playoffs inside the Orlando bubble. And it's already been out there. He's in trouble for a lot of people. Or is he? Or is he? And I say that because, or is he, only because it's a unique situation. Will Elson Brand, the front office, and the ownership group feel like they have enough time to bring in a new coach to implement what they want to, maybe not being able to be around their players the way they're supposed to or want to get things started as an introduction as a head coach? Is that going to be a possibility? So there's a whole bunch to it, but we'll take your Flyers phone calls, of course, but everyone has been talking about the 76ers and their ridiculous loss. It's what it was. It was a ridiculous loss on Saturday to the Indiana Pacers where they fell. And they gave up a lot of points. 127-121. Highlighted by, of course, the fourth period, 46-34. I was extremely frustrated in the fourth quarter as you look at them up 10 points in the fourth quarter. And instead of him, Brett Brown, as we talk about him, sticking with his gut at that point and leaving Embiid and Harris on the floor. So the Sixers were up, was it 10? I think it was 10. They were up 100-92. Ben Simmons with a layup. And when Ben Simmons hit the layup, 192, with 7:49 to play, TJ Warren comes back, knocks down a three. They started going back and forth. Right there, that's when your big fella is supposed to be in the game. That's when Tobias Harris is supposed to be in the game to make sure that you close that game out, right? You close that game out. Close the game out. I understand you might want to leave him in there for a couple of minutes. You want to give him a quick breather and bring him back so you can close out the score the proper way. I get that, right? 95-86 was the score when Tobias Harris got a layup. Doug McDermott comes back. Alec Burks hits the three-pointer to make it 98-88. Simmons in for Harris. Horford in for Embiid. And right there again, 98-90, 98-92, 192, 195. Right there was lights out. Right there was lights out. So you make those substitutions at 8:38 for those two players, and they go on a run, okay? They go on a run to end the game and close things out 127-101. T.J. Warren goes for a career-high 53. A lot of people are like, who? Well, T.J. Warren is a professional scorer. Did you expect him to have 53 and, of course, be the first person inside the bubble to drop 53 on anybody? No. He has scored 40 points in his career. So, look, anybody who gets going can get going. Tony Delk has dropped 50 in a game, right? Jamal Crawford has dropped 50 in a game multiple times. There are people who are household names, but you don't expect them to go off in the same fashion that Curry, Harden, and others have done in the past. TJ Warren got hot. And if you get hot, you get hot. And the way that they defended them, him, as a team, and specifically Ben Simmons, as a individual defender on TJ Warren, it was despicable watching their defensive performance on Saturday night. When we talked about going into this restart, the seeding games for the 76ers, and the fact that for me, number one overall had to be the defense intensity overall for this team. That's where they hang their hat on. While we are not yet in the playoffs, they continue to tell us about smash mouth offense, Embiid dropping 41, and bully ball defense. Well, in my book, and this is what Tyrone Johnson and I were talking about a little bit with Mike before he left as well. In my book, when you talk about bully ball defense, when a guy hangs 29 on you in the first half, 19 in the first quarter, still gets into a good rhythm in the third quarter, where's the bully ball defense that we are talking about? When the Sixers acquired last year Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, and one guy in particular for me, Mike Scott. Now forget about the outside shooting and all that. I said they needed some toughness. They needed somebody that's going to put a little bit of fear. Yes, he's a reserve player. He's not going to make that much of a difference. But guess what? Sometimes when you lay someone out, they understand it, and maybe they back off. Now, is TJ Warren that guy? Maybe not. But you didn't even try it. Ben Simmons wasn't even closing out. He wasn't denying the ball. This is what Tyrone and I were talking about because I heard him mention it with Mike. Denying the basketball. Keith Pompey mentioned you were supposed to deny TJ Warren. Ben Simmons, too enamored with his individual defense to feel like that he can recover quick enough while he's still giving him 5 feet of space to get a jump shot off and knock down even a 35-footer. That's absurd. You can't do that. This is not Mount Verde Academy. This is not the SEC. This is the NBA when guys can go off and get into a good feel, a good rhythm, and stay in that place. And the defense from Ben Simmons, who I still, listen, one game is not going to take me out of where I am with him being an all-NBA first-team defender. That is not. I saw an entire sample size of 65 games from him. Well, like 57, I believe it is, before he went down with the injury for his back. I saw an entire sample size this year, the previous year, and his rookie year to say he's a good defender. And this year he turned into an elite defender in the NBA. He's still first team all in the NBA. And that probably hurt him because of his overall confidence in who he knows he is as a defender, feeling like he again can just ramp it up when he wants to on defense and close out. Crowd him, not at all. Don't even bother to crowd him, denying him the ball, that he can stop him whenever. It was too late. And then Brett Brown didn't do anything in helping. Where was the double team? There's no Sabonis to double team on a low block. Miles Turner's in foul trouble. You don't have to double team him. Victor Oladipo did not have it going enough for him to warrant a double team. TJ Warren deserved a double team at some point in that game on Sunday, especially when he's starting to go off and feel it again. You are still with a lead. You take him, you crowd that man. Crowd that man. Make Aaron Holiday beat you. Make Justin Holiday beat you. The same for TJ McConnell, Doug McDermott, and everyone else that they decide to throw out there. That's who you make beat you. And a guy who is already going off, you don't crowd him. You don't send a double team his way. You don't show that quickly and make sure your team defense is helping enough to scramble, get to the other side where the ball rotates. You now go to the other where the man is. If he decides to cut to the baseline or in the middle of the floor, all of that, that's what you're supposed to do. And they did not. And Ben Simmons, he did not. So I don't care about, again, the 19 that he dropped, whatever it was, with the other statistical things that he put up, 19, 13, and 4. Wasn't good enough for me. Wasn't good enough. Right? Put a complete game out there. As a two-way player, the 19 would have been great with the 14 boards. I appreciate helping crash the glass. I appreciate that. Embiid with 21. Harris with 8, also dropping 30. I appreciate that. What they needed from him was to stop TJ Warren, and he did not do a good enough job. I also said this. When I joined the morning show, I think it was Friday for their New Year celebration. And we were talking about matchups for the playoffs. Would you prefer to play a certain team or not? My answer to them was this. They're not good enough to choose an opponent. 39 and 26. They're not good enough to choose who they play. Flat out. They're 29 and 2 at home, 10 and 24 on the road. You might as well add 10 to 25 here on the road because they just lost another. So here we are as observers thinking that the Indiana Pacers, already without Domantas Sabonis because of his injury, which will probably take a while for him to return, then getting the great news, with all due respect to Malcolm Brogdon, you know I love him, that he is not playing. And with him not playing, this is great for them, right? This is great for them. You get Embiid back, you get your five starters out there, you get that cohesion that you've been wanting before the start of the playoffs with 0 minutes among these five players, and it'll work out. You get that boost of momentum. You get a first win. It makes you feel good going into Monday night. Tonight, 8 o'clock against the San Antonio Spurs. Then you get the Washington Wizards. You get 3 wins in a row. You're feeling good about yourself. Maybe not overconfident, but feeling good. And what we talked about, remember in 17-18 when they went into the postseason with 16-game winning streak? Looking great. People starting to pick them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers led by LeBron James. That's not a bad thing. As a first-year playoff team getting in there, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, that momentum from that 16-game winning streak helped them carry that into the postseason to that 3-seed feeling good. You do that now, but no. You go back to the old 76ers that we thought we weren't going to see because we were told it was something different. The turnovers, total of 21 turnovers, 26 points off those 21. Pacers only turn the ball over 10 times. You get 17 points. Okay, great. All right. Points in the paint. You dominate 68 to 44. Second chance points. Pretty much dominated that 24 to 13. Fast break points, even 15 to 13. But you give up a career high 53 to TJ Warren, previously of 40. He dropped 40 on Washington in 2017. You turn the ball over at a high rate. You shoot the ball 36% from behind the three-point line, 9 of 25. You get to the free throw line, 20 of 25. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. You dominate on the glass, 55 to 34. You lose 127-121. There were a lot of good things that happened. There were more glaring bad things that happened. Shake Milton, awful. Haun Neto, playing 20 minutes and 39 seconds. No need for that. Alec Burks gave you 9 points in 12-14. He needed to get those minutes. Furkan Korkmaz, remember when we talked about him being Marco Bellinelli probably when the games count in the postseason? On Saturday, he was Marco Bellinelli against the Boston Celtics in 2018 where they had to take him off the floor and he couldn't play. Josh Richardson, 2-4, he looks lost out there. What's going on? Al Horford, I don't look at minuses. The 10 points are great. 6 boards feels good. 2 assists, fantastic. Minus 26. Something like that is glaring. Something like that is glaring. Now, the altercation or the rift that the two players had in Bean and Shake Milton, I'll say this before we get to the phones, 610-632-0975, talking to Mike and Ty about this as we transitioned in the studio. I did not have a problem with Shake Milton biting back at Joel Embiid. I did not. Because as a man, you stand up for yourself. Embiid coming at him, the way he acted on the floor, throwing the ball at him a couple of feet away, drilling it, had Shake Milton turning around, TJ McConnell steals the ball, three-pointer, TJ Warren, they get into their little thing. That's basketball. I'm cool with that. Embiid handled it wrong. Shake Milton also handled it wrong. I didn't mind Embiid being frustrated with Shake Milton. I did not mind Shake Milton having an issue with Joel as a man standing up for himself as a young player, letting him know and letting his team know that I can be tougher. I can rebound from this. While I can take constructive criticism, I'm also going to bite back. Now, the performance needs to follow with that, as Tyrone said, as Mike said. You don't have the cachet to be going out there doing that to a star, a superstar, if you will, in Joel Embiid. The key there is to bounce back now tonight against the San Antonio Spurs, where DeJounte Murray and Derek White will dog you defensively out there on the floor. They will dog you. They're going to make Shake Milton earn it tonight. I need Shake to come out here poised. I need him to come out there composed as a point guard and run this basketball team. Get them off of this nasty schneid that they're on right now. get them back to where a place where Brett Brown felt it was good enough for him to put Shake Milton in the starting lineup, keep Al Horford on the bench, and go this route for this basketball team. It is not something that I want to see him take him off the floor for. Not right now. It's too early, too soon. Give it a chance. If it gets out of hand, at some point you do remove him possibly from the starting lineup, put him back on the bench, and you go with Thibault or Horford, however you want to do it, and we'll go from there. That was basketball? Okay. Now, what do you guys do when you get back out there on the floor for this next game? Does that still show in game number 2 against the San Antonio Spurs where this becomes a problem? It better not. Leave it there. Get it over with. I'll see you in practice, and I'll see you on Monday when we get ready to play the San Antonio Spurs. Shake Milton, take it out on the Spurs now. That's what you do. You take it out on the Spurs, and you go out there and you play a complete basketball game for your basketball team. We have plenty of other things to get into overall with this team, because guess what, guys? The San Antonio Spurs, they're 2 games out now. They were like 4 games out. They're actually 2 games out now of that 8th seed in the Western Conference behind the Memphis Grizzlies, surpassing the Pelicans and the Blazers. So they have something to play for with these 7 games remaining. 7 games remaining. They have something to play for. So you think this is going to be a walk in the park tonight against the Spurs? That's why it was important that you win that game on Saturday and get ready for the Spurs game here, because they're going to be ready to play. All right, so we'll take your phone calls on everything from the team defense, which I thought was horrendous, giving up 127 points, 53 individually to TJ Warren. Great performance by him. You tip your cap, shake his hand. He got the best of you. But Simmons, you need to now come out again across from DeMar DeRozan, and you shut him down tonight and don't allow him to get anywhere close to 30. Right? Personal pride on the line for these guys tonight. So, your numbers, 610-632-0975. We'll take your phone calls. What do you feel about the game on Saturday? How does that now translate to tonight's game against the Spurs? Flyers with a big win, 4-1 over the Boston Bruins, off until Thursday. Great start for them. Doug Peterson tests positive for the coronavirus. Where do you guys stand? 610-632-0975. Abbreviated shows. We lead you into Sixers basketball, taking on the San Antonio Spurs. They need this win. They really do. They really do. I'm Devon Givens, Josh Ray producing. We'll be right back. 25 minutes commercial free after the break. So we'll take all of your calls, 610-632-0975, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
.com/FanatiC. 6:31, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 6 o'clock hour brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at FamilyJewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. If the Sixers want that jewelry, they better get it together, because the Flyers look like they're off to a good start with their first win over Boston. Not so much for the 76ers. They get another chance tonight. 8 o'clock tip right here on the Fanatic against the San Antonio Spurs. Brian Seltzer with the pregame coverage starting at 7:50. Tom McGinnis on the game call. And we will be back afterwards, Josh Rabick and I, as we go in the post with you. I'm guessing we'll have about a half hour to go in the post, and it's good to have in the post back. How about that? So we love that. So we'll go in the post after the game and get you guys' thoughts on, hopefully, we're talking about a 76ers win. So what did you guys think about Saturday? I've been listening all day of how many people have felt frustration all over. Where do you put the blame? What was wrong? What was wrong? All of these months off, and you come back, and you have 21 turnovers to 10 versus the Indiana Pacers. 8 in the first quarter. 8. And I was looking at that. I'm like, 35 to 29, 8 turnovers. TJ Warren goes off for 19 points. They're sitting pretty. They're sitting pretty. They just dodged one. And then we see what happens. So, where do you guys go? I have plenty of other things to point out, but we will give you guys your chance as we go again. Until 7:45, the number's 610-632-0975. Let's start things off in Collingdale with Mike tonight, tipping us off on this Monday night. Hope you all had a good weekend right here on the Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's good, fam?
What's up, Mike? Oh, man, tough one this weekend.
I'm good. Yeah, definitely was. And it's so funny. I know you're a big Ben Simmons fan. So I wanted to be the first caller because I wanted to hear what you were going to say. But I do appreciate you not sugarcoating it, and you did keep it 100. So I'm not going to blast you because that was my whole thing. I'm like, yo, if Devon come over here and he's sugarcoating it, he catching it from me. My only thing.
Well, look, Mike, you know me. You know what I say. Aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons, and that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing, if you will, because I shouldn't have to say it. So as much as I love him, and you know I do, mm-hmm. and he was, and I praise him for his defense. And look, I don't say it oftentimes, but you know I've been talking about his defense since he got here, and now he's stepped up to be that elite defender in the league. He was terrible.
Yeah, but my thing is this. Okay, so I could understand a player that goes off the dribble, off the bounce, and get busy, but TJ Warren, he wasn't doing that, so. Why was they so, like, lackadaisical and just, like, not, I mean, the kid was hot. And the reason why I say that is because I'm not sure if you've seen the Boston-Portland game where Jason Tatum went off. Then in the second half, Damian Lillard came out and he said, yo, I'm checking this dude 94 feet.
Right.
He's not beating us. So Jaylen Brown had to beat him. So even on the last play, that deep, like, 35-footer he hit.
Yep.
Why was Ben even helping on that when the dude got 50?
Yo, I wrote the same thing in my notes. I'm like, Aaron Holiday is driving. Make him beat you right there. Why are you helping out on Aaron Holiday? And you, as a point guard, his mentality is, find the hot man.
Yeah, because to me, it doesn't matter who had the ball. I was not going to leave TJ.
Nope.
He was hot no matter where he was shooting from. I mean, he was banging everything. Now, my second thing to you is, and this is where I think the Sixers going to have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Sixers is a home team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe down that bubble, there's no home court advantage for anybody.
No, it's all about basketball. Just
so that's one of my biggest concerns about the Sixers. I believe that since they can't generate what that home crowd brings them, because you know they're a different team, home and away, but that bubble to me, it just seems like it's a neutral or it's a away game.
Yeah, it's simply neutral for them, Mike. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Got a lot going on there. Always good to hear from you. We'll get to trivia next time when we have more time to do so. The Sixers are technically the home team tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. So we'll see how it goes, right? Maybe they'll wear their white unis, their blue ones, whatever they feel like is home. But they need to come away with a victory tonight. And that lackluster performance that they put up there. Look, 121 points should beat the Indiana Pacers, with all due respect. Nate McMillan, I give him a lot of credit for what he does with that team, getting them ready defensively as a squad overall, going through all that they have with Victor Oladipo dealing with his injuries, yet and still they're in the postseason. They put up an all-star in Domantas Sabonis. Malcolm Brogdon could have also been an all-star. They have had a really good season, and they give the 76ers problems. And they gave them big fits on Saturday. Why is Ben Simmons, to Mike's point? I wrote this in my notes. That possession, why are you sagging the help? Again, this is where the overconfidence comes in. This is where the IQ and the overconfidence comes in. The IQ says, stay with my man. He's too hot. I cannot give an angle. I cannot even give an angle. And if you're going to do it and you feel like you do need to help, the angle should be more where you're sliding and one hand is up, where in the event that Aaron Holiday decides now that I'm going to pass it across my body with a body in between me and Warren and that pass, there's a very, very good chance that you're tipping that basketball and possibly getting a steal and hopefully going the other way. But no, he didn't even do that right. But I'm not even doing that. I'm crowding TJ Warren. I'm not backing off. He had too many jumpers on you already to do that. That was just dumb basketball. It was dumb. What are you making a play there for? It was dumb. 610-632-0975. Let's go next to Nate in Southwest Philly on the Fanatic. Nate, what's going on?
I'm sorry, which Ben got cooked like fried rice, bro.
Oh, he did.
It just was horrible. He got like he was in a stir fry.
Well, guess what? It doesn't get any easier tonight because DeMar DeRozan can score too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if DeMar don't score, better watch out for Patty Mills coming off the bench and streaking past.
I agree.
Yeah. So it's going to be a problem tonight, and we're going to see what happens. But listen, my beef is with how come. So why didn't when Ben was getting cooked like that by T.J. Warren, and they went to a timeout? Why Joe didn't jump in his face?
Because he's Ben Simmons. He not
absolutely.
Gonna do that.
So come on, bro. You're going to go to the smallest dude on the court, the fifth dude. This is the fifth wheel that you go at. The boy that don't make that much money. Like, come on. Then you're going to tell me I'm going to slap the ass out of you? Really? Come on, bro.
Yeah.
You know, he was out of pocket. I read his lips. He out of pocket, bro.
Yeah, and now again, as a star, of course you can do that, but with him and his history, it's like, all right, you ask why not Ben? Number one, he probably has it in his head that if I do this to Ben, people are going to be like, oh, me and Ben, again, that we don't get along. Now, Shake Milton, of course, he can just go at Shake Milton because he's only Shake Milton, and he had the bad plays, he had the charge he gave on the other end after the turnover.
Yeah, I ain't co-signing when Shake was doing this. TJ McConnell was in the shorts. You feel me?
Yes.
As soon as he turned around, TJ McConnell right there.
Yep.
So, by all means, Shake Milton deserves to get screamed at, but still do that on camera. You could have did that later. You know what I'm saying? You could have did that off to the side and said, bro, you this, and that. You went right at him on camera, bro. That was just like you tried to humiliate the man in front of everybody. So I applaud Shake as the man that he is. Like, I don't know who you think you're talking to, but yeah, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At that point, as a man, you're like, all right, you know, I can only take but so much. And we saw what happened. I agree. And B should have handled that better. Tobias Harris and Matisse Thybulle tried to calm it down and all. And eventually we saw what happened. I think, you know, based on the camera angle, it was difficult, Nate, to see how it was. I thought they went out of their way when Shake was on the floor because he was in foul trouble. When they were on the floor, it looked like Embiid in the second half was looking to, you know, give him five and all that stuff on certain plays. So it was good that they went that. Now it's about tonight and how you respond.
I want to see. If you really want to play this game and be that starting point guard in this league, you got to show and prove, bro. You can't come up throwing turnovers. You threw the ball over the man's head on a pick and pop. And I'm like, yo, what are you doing?
Yeah, yep. I saw that too.
And so at the same time, bro, when I just asked you that question, you see the question that I asked you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Isaac was one of the guys that didn't stand on the first take, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't wish no harm on nobody.
Yeah, I hear you, man, but that's ACL.
That's crazy, though, bro.
Yeah.
That's just crazy how that happened.
Yeah. So, you know, thanks for the call, Nate. We'll talk.
All right,
we'll talk when we can, man. Maybe tomorrow, talk about the Spurs and 610-632-0975. Nate was talking about he reached out via the text board and pointed out how karma with Jonathan Isaac standing instead of kneeling with everyone else and not even wearing the Black Lives Matter shirts with the teammates as they came together during the national anthem. And over the weekend, Jonathan Isaac tore his ACL. So that's what Nate was talking about. And he said, you know, he doesn't wish any harm, as you just heard, Nate. I just can't, you know, having torn my ACL and still going through the rehab, and it gets frustrating. I know what he means about karma and all that, but that's an ACL. And this guy's not going to be out for a year, maybe plus, after already battling injuries that kept him off the floor for a couple of months for the Orlando Magic. So I hope he gets back to being the terrific player that he looked like he was going to be for a young guy. And he has a lot of basketball left in front of him. So hopefully he recovers. 610-632-0975. And Embiid, he had on Saturday 41-21 in 34 minutes, 15 of 23. 10 of 12 from the free throw line, 1 of 5 from deep. 3 block shots as well, 4 turnovers. I'm not even really getting on him for that. I thought he was tremendous. So when they talk about smash mouth offense, that's what you're talking about. Smash mouth offense. Dump the ball in the low block, get Miles Turner in foul trouble, who had the 6 fouls. He fouled out. Keep going. They had Jakar Sampson trying to defend him. Eat him alive too. Foul him out. Dare them to decide to go with Justin Holiday or deeper on their bench with someone else. Dare them. Dare them. That had to continue to be the game plan. So when I pointed out in the fourth quarter when they were up 10 after Alec Burks hit the 3 and you substitute for Harris and Embiid, although you're bringing in Simmons, they go on their run. You better quickly bring... We talk about Brown in the past with his the reading of the game clock and the game feel of not simply going with your traditional, oh, I have to take guys out at certain times. Look, for me, Embiid looked tired at that point. He did look tired. And you're like, all right, I have 10. I'm up 10. Let's go ahead and get him out. You know what I'm doing? Even though I'm up 10 and I scored a couple of buckets, I might have to call a timeout just to give my guy a breather because I need to extend this one. Then maybe sub him for a minute or two. Hopefully you get a TV timeout and he gets some actual rest and bring him back because I need him out there to close it. But instead, the Pacers went on their run. They got that momentum back. T.J. Warren starting to get cooking again. And here we are talking about a 127-121 loss when you're down Malcolm Brogdon and Domantas Sabonis giving up 53 points to T.J. Warren. Brett Brown, not his finest moment. Embiid was tremendous. I thought at times he had defensive lapses. I don't know if that was fatigue, but he had a couple of defensive lapses, 3 block shots. For the most part, he protected the rim. He really did. Again, points in the paint, 44. He protected the rim. He did his job. He needed to be out there in the fourth quarter more than he was, especially when they were up 10. Don't be a liability. Go to Harris, who was warm. Go to others who could get things going. Go to Simmons while he is out there. Just don't have him running, sprinting up the floor, trying to catch everybody. He needed to be out there. He needs to be out, even if he's tired and he gets fouled on the low block because Jakar Sampson has no other option but to foul and beat, and he splits 1 of 2. You're still putting points on the board. And those free throws are technically giving him a little bit of a rest. Yes, he has to take his deep breath, bend his knees, full extension, right? Follow through, make his free throws. He's a very good free throw shooter. Yes, the fatigue can get in the way. This is where big time player. You're out there yelling at Shake Milton. Hit your free throws. He should have ended up with 50. Claude in West Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Claude?
Yep, I'm here.
What's up?
I'm still here. You can't hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
What's wrong? Something wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Devon, I'm on. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Man.
What's up, man?
Sorry about that.
That's
man.
All good, man.
Yeah, man. Listen, man, I'm going to try to keep calm, man. I'm just like, and we've been talking about the Sixers for a while, and I feel like I'm a dude that kind of try to be really, you know, objective.
Same
and
here.
Kind of look at it from a real overall point of view. But, like, I just can't overexpress how frustrating that loss was for me personally. And I think the main part that hits me more than anything is just that I think reality kind of set in for me. Like, these guys just don't seem mature enough and just not ready yet, you know? And I think a lot of it, we can break down the game and look at the different defense they play, but overall, the first problem with me is just an overall lack of urgency at moments. And this group...
No, sometimes they do look like they have a lack of urgency. The sense of urgency is not there. Especially, remember the one play, Claude, when Ben Simmons, the clock was running down, and he's doing what he's doing, trying to get where he's going. And then he kicks it out to Embiid, and Embiid is forced to, like, a fadeaway.
Yeah, like, what are you,
Ben, here we go again, Ben. We're talking about, you're even though you're not technically the point guard, you're one of the smartest guys on the floor. You need to know time of the shot clock and recognition of where you are at that moment, and you have to make a better play. So once again, forget about all the stuff what everybody's saying. You need to make a play, and there's no reason for you to pass that ball to Embiid in that moment.
Listen, it's a culture thing. And I was a guy that, don't get it twisted, I criticize Brett Brown at times, but I give him praise where praise is needed. And it's just an overall culture of this team at times where they're getting out-hustled and outworked by teams. You know what the big thing Indiana did in that game where we were showing our dominance from inside and stuff like that? They kept the striking distance by fighting, running them little flex cuts and them back screens, getting little
man, those pin downs. He was coming off those pin downs wide open.
Wide open, no one's running. Ben just swearing, you know, and I'm not going to, I mean, obviously he got torched. Don't get it twisted. You know, and there's a lot of screens and stuff going, but like, why are you going under screens and a guy's hitting three-pointers like that? Why are you cheating off your man when he's the hottest person on this side of the planet? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think a lot of things come through, like the coach just not stressing. No defense of Ben at all, but the coach should be stressing, look, take him up at half court. Don't leave him. In some way, make somebody
100%.
Tap them off some screens, 100%. Make someone else beat us, man. And I just think it's just the overall, like, deer in the head, like, look they get when teams start working harder than them and beat them to them loose balls, beat them to them little fluke plays. And that's why you see it goes in their direction and not ours, man. And it just looks at, like, to me, I'm like, I've been defending this team all year, even against you at times, talking about, all right, if playoffs come, we're going to be ready. I really believe that. But when I see a game like that happen to a team, don't get it twisted. Indiana's a good team. Well coached. I love Nate McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
But we should have beat them, especially missing their top two players. Not two of their top three players.
Brogdon,
you know,
and Sabonis,
you know,
yes.
Right, man. It's awful,
frustrating.
Man.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so what do you think about tonight, quickly?
Quickly, I think.
What do you want to see the adjustment?
I need to see more aggression by Ben Simmons on defense. I don't care what happens. You don't get lit up tonight. And I need to see I need to see Shake do something tonight. Shake and Josh Richardson, I need to see him do something.
Got
to
bounce
back. I
don't
want to say Embiid.
Got to bounce back. Yep. Thanks, man. We'll talk for sure. You got
no
it,
doubt.
Man.
No doubt.
Thanks, man.
Yep.
Enjoy the game. Hopefully they get that W. 610-632-0975. And listen, those pin downs that T.J. Warren, they were simple, man. Simple basketball pin down. Coming along the baseline, nice screen being set, coming to loose, getting around that extra body. They might set it a second screen where Ben has to work a little bit harder, but we've seen him do it. We've seen him do it. That's why he gets the recognition that he does as one of the top defensive players in the NBA. That's why we talk about him as being a first-team all-defensive performer on the year. That is great recognition for a young player. It is, especially when he's chasing people smaller than him. And to do the work that he does, that is tremendous. Sometimes you have a bad night. He needed help. He flat out needed help. And I thought the coach, even though deny, which Tyrone was talking about from Keith Pompey from the Inquirer, absolutely right. Where were the double teams being called? That defense. Where's Emi Udoka saying, hey, coach, we got to run a double team at this dude because Ben is not doing what we're asking him, so run that double at him. Make somebody else beat me here. If Victor Oladipo beats you, right? Victor Oladipo is Victor Oladipo. He was 6 of 14. He wasn't going crazy. TJ Warren was going crazy. Giving it to him every which way they were looking for it. Every which way. Pin down. Another pin down. Another pin down with another screen. Let me run around this pick here. Let me get this nice little floater off. Let me stand behind a three-point line and go 9 of 12. You can't let a guy get into that type of comfort zone from behind a three-point line. Yes, he can score. NC State, Phoenix, Indiana, put up 40 in 2017 on Washington. That man can flat-out score, and he's strong as ever. He has a lot of stuff to him. He wasn't supposed to drop 53 on you. He wasn't. 610-632-0975. 0975. Listen, Rob, Shan, Chris, Spider, we got them all here. Two open phone lines. We had a full couple people dropped off if you want to check in. Final run on the other side as we take you to 745, Sixers Spurs, 8 o'clock tip. So, guys, we give you all your time when we get back. We'll talk about the problems with the Sixers. Flyers calls again. Welcome. Bring them in. They win 4-1 over Boston. We'll take your phone call, 610-632-0975. What was the problem Saturday? How did they fix it? We're talking about it until 745 here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
7 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic, as we broadcast live from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, along with Josh Ray producing. I'm Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. We do take you up to 745 Sixers Spurs basketball live right here on the Sixers Radio Network. We get that going for you. Hopefully we're talking about a win. Of course, the San Antonio Spurs, I believe, are going to boast a starting lineup of Derek White, DeJounte Murray, defensively. That's nasty in the backcourt. Lonnie Walker, Redding, right? Redding native, coming into his own, looking good out there. He's starting as well with DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl, because if you remember, during the offseason, the hiatus, LaMarcus Aldridge decided to opt out, have surgery. He is not playing in this tournament, if you will, getting ready for the playoffs. So Jakob Poeltl at the five spot, Rudy Gay, Patty Mills, and company off the bench for the San Antonio Spurs, Greg Popovich-led team, of course. Tonight or this afternoon, it's great to have basketball on in the afternoon, isn't it? The Indiana Pacers took down the Washington Wizards, 111-100, and he's still hot. 14 of 26 for T.J. Warren, 34 points, 11 boards. So in two games, he's put up 87 points, averaging 43.5 points per game for T.J. Warren. They are now a game and a half, a full game and a half up on the 76ers in the standings after beating them head-to-head on Saturday and now taking down Washington earlier today. So the 76ers, they want to make up some ground. They have to get back into a groove. Miami lost today. They are still 2.5 behind them. So pick up that half a game on both of these teams and then look forward to the final six before the postseason. 610-632-0975. The Toronto Raptors, once again, they won. Fred VanVleet with a career high 36, I believe. They're, you know, if you remember when we did the show, who are you most afraid of? I said the Toronto Raptors are the scariest to me. Winning pedigree. Great head coach. Nick Nurse already in year number two, a great head coach. You have leaders like Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol. Pascal Siakam. Just blossoming into what he has become. Fred VanVleet is going to get paid. Norman Powell giving you stuff. Terrence Davis comes out of nowhere. That team is good. And we thought the 76ers were good too. They'll be in the playoffs. The question is for how long? 610-632-0975. And also around the league, another final score as the Denver Nuggets in overtime beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 121-113. Nurkic is fantastic. I mean, Jokic is fantastic, right? Nikola Jokic, 30 points, 12 boards, 10 assists. Just, you know, no big deal. Just put up another triple-double. No big deal. 10 of 21, get to the free throw line, 10 of 11. But how about this? Michael Porter Jr., 37. 37 and 12. 12 of 16 from the floor, 4 of 6 from deep. Got to the free throw line 9 times, netting all of them. Second-year player. I was scared of the back. I have to admit it. 2018, he was in the draft. I was scared of the back when he was on the board for the Sixers. They drafted McHale, traded him to Phoenix, got Zaire Smith. Michael Porter Jr. to the Nuggets, 37. 37, career high for the young guy. Oh, man. All right, 610-632-0975. Flyers 4-1 win over the Boston Bruins on Sunday. They're back at it on the ice on Thursday. Doug Peterson tests positive for the coronavirus. But everyone wants to talk about the Sixers, just like Robin Overbrook here on the Fanatic. What's up, Rob?
What's up, D? How you doing?
I'm doing, man. How about you? Frustrated.
I'm hanging in there, man.
We're right back at it.
Full disclosure, man. I did not see the game Saturday.
Okay.
The first thing I did when I got home was I looked at the stats. And one thing popped out. Raul Neto. Why did he get so many minutes?
22 minutes? Let me look at it properly.
It's called
20:39. 20 minutes and 39 seconds.
It's called preparation. We all knew that Shake Milton was going to struggle at some point. He's young. It's a new position. He's young. He's going to struggle. Your answer to that is putting Raul in the game?
Right. So you're saying be prepared, and if you have to go Simmons and back at the point, put somebody else in there.
And Burke
to get some more time, yeah.
Yeah. So, but what makes it more frustrating is the night before, I got to watch Trey Burke play, and I'm like, why he not on the team?
Yeah, he hung what, like 31? 31?
Yeah, and he's not going to do that all the time because he's streaky too.
No, but he can do
it. It's a better option.
Yeah.
You know he can do it. Like, this organization has neglected this position for years, and they continue to do it.
Yeah, outside of Ben, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but when I say neglected, they never gave him a vet to help him. They didn't invest in the position. They never helped Ben. There was no one to help Ben.
Yeah, that's why I thought the Jimmy Butler move at the time, while, you know, it was a controversial thing, and I prefer Paul George over Jimmy Butler, liking them both, but having a preference. He helped. And while he helped in the way, he also took away from Ben Simmons. And I think that was also playing a part outside of the Brett Brown aspect, where Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, how were they going to coexist with the ball handling responsibilities and Ben Simmons accepting that role? So he helped in that aspect of what you're talking about with another guy who can handle the ball.
And I've been listening to you. Everything that you've been saying and some of the calls are saying, it points right back at the coach. At some point, they gotta solve that problem, because sometimes Embiid gonna have to play 40 minutes. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
And he's gonna have to fight through it. And as a coach, you're gonna have to make him play. You can't just sit him and rest him. Like you said, that's coaching. Call timeout. Let him get a breather. Mm-hmm. That comes with coach, but those are the nuances of coaching that you should know by now, Brett. You're 7 years into this.
Yeah, yeah. Coach is the field of the game.
You should know how to rest players.
Yeah, have a gut.
You should know how to rest players.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, go with the gut.
He's a nice guy, man. He'd probably be a hell of a college coach, man, but.
not here, huh?
Not here, man. Oh, I like him, man. I like him, man. But
he's a nice
college
man.
He got college written all over him, man.
I hear you. Or assistant in the NBA. Yep.
Yeah.
I hear you.
All right, Rob. Where you want to go?
Yeah, we'll talk, man. You got it, man. We'll talk, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. You know how people feel about Brett Brown. This has been an ongoing thing. It has not stopped. It has not stopped. And it will not stop. It will not. So if they exit early, and I was talking to one of my best friends, my family, I said, if they exit early, first or second round, he's like, if? It doesn't matter. Either one, he's gone. Probably right. The only thing that I prepare people for is COVID-19. And the fact that they say it's a little unorthodox to go out there, bring in a new body to head coach, be the head coach, and implement his plan, his style, without being able to get out there with them on the floor and be that head coach. But that's their job, to figure it out and adjust to these types of situations and go that route. 610-632-0975. Shannon in Georgia. Shannon, how you doing, man?
Hey, Brother Devon, you there?
Yes. What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, man. It's good to talk to you.
You as well.
You, you know, all these years, you know, I try to be the voice of reason, you know, when it comes to the Sixers, Eagles, Phillies, whatever we're talking about. But at this point, I can no longer defend Brett Brown. I try to give you specifics. My first issue with that basketball game the other night, you gave up 127 points.
Yes, sir.
To an Indiana Pacers team that was really without their two best players, and Oladipo coming back first time in over a year playing basketball. Number one, that's unacceptable, regardless of T.J. Warren or anything else. For this team, with a defensive skillful players like Ben, like Josh, like Thibel, like Al Horford, you're talking guys that all of them, you know, have the potential to be first-team all-defensive players.
Yes.
For that team to give up 127 points is a disgrace. It falls on Brett Brown for not having these guys ready. The last time you played Indiana, T.J. Warren led them in scoring at 29 points and came out early because they beat the hell out of Philly that game.
Yep.
So for them not to be prepared, there's no excuse for that.
There is no excuse. No, because especially when you give him 19 in the first quarter, you have that. And that's why I looked at you turn the ball over 8 times. Shannon, that's why I'm looking at it, and I'm saying the silver lining here is they're down 6. 5 or 6 after 1, he puts up 19. That's something that you need to hang your hat on and say, all right, we got away with one here. Now let's turn it up. They were down 6 after 1. Turn it up. And they did not.
Yeah, let me switch up. And you know, if I'm Brett, I'm thinking, hey, I got the best rookie on-ball defensive player I've ever seen in NBA history. I'm going to put him in a game and say, hey, look, I don't care if you foul out in 10 minutes. You're going to stop this guy's rhythm because he's going to shoot the lights out tonight and win this game for them. Mm-hmm. Why he can't do that, I don't understand. Now, offensively, Philadelphia continues to struggle with the same issue they've been struggling with for 3 years. This team does not have a point guard on its roster, an NBA-level point guard on this roster. If Ben Simmons was the all-pro point guard, we wouldn't see this change. Let's be real, okay? If quarterbacking is the most defensive play, most difficult position to play in NFL, point guard is the most defensive, most difficult position to learn in the NBA. And Shake Milton is not a point guard. He's a scorer. He's kind of a Lou Williams type, but he's not a point guard. And shame
on
Brett Brown.
I said he was a combo guard, but I thought he could be a ball handler to come up because in the traditional sense of what today's guards are, we really don't see many point guards. You come up, you hand the ball off, and you go run your set. You come back around, and you possibly get a look. So I agree with you there. I do not have a problem with what you're saying. I just thought he earned the right to be out there.
God, you can't put him in that position after 2 weeks of practicing.
Okay? Why
maybe
not?
Maybe you have an off season, you know, and say, hey,
you had an off season.
We're gonna change your game, and we're gonna make you a point guard now. You need to do that when you've got more time to do it. When these guys had 2 weeks of practicing and 3 practices.
Right, but I don't think they had. I don't think they again, they're using him as a traditional one.
And that takes away from his game. That's not what he does well. He's a scorer. He played great when you didn't have your top guys in there because he's the type of guy you put the ball in his hand, let him create his own game. That's his game. He's not a pass-first point guard. So now you lost him. You lost Josh Richardson. It was just a horrible decision. It tells me that Brett Brown is not seeing this game accurately. And if it was up to me, you know, if I'm really going for it this year, COVID or not, I'd let him go tonight.
Well, listen, Shane, thanks. They're not going to do that, of course. You know that. They're not going to do that. But I understand your frustration. 610-632-0975. We'll give everybody an opportunity here. As we go along, want to continue to take these phone calls, 610-632-0975. Sports Philly 1, Brown has no feel for the game whatsoever. This is on Twitter. He's beyond predictable regardless of the game situation. And you're hearing what Shannon just said. So both Shannon and Sports Philly 1 here on Twitter frustrated with what Brown could not fix on Saturday against that team. Another Twitter, and I need Brett Brown to run a pick and roll with Shake, help the young man, Asafo. I'm trying to see. He had another one. Oh, okay. He was saying, preach. He was saying that I was going off. I did kind of go off. I needed to go off on those guys because I was ticked off, man. was ticked off. We were all ready for that. They told us that they think they have figured it out, and it looked like the Shake Milton experiment here. Shan doesn't like it, putting him in a bad spot. Once again, I don't think he's a point guard. I just think he's someone who they feel comfortable with, more with his shooting and pick and roll responsibility that he can go out there and do and execute that. We didn't get a chance to see it. He got in foul trouble. He had issues. He and Embiid got into the thing that may have taken him out mentally. He wasn't right. And it got away from him. Got away from him. T.J. McConnell gave him work. That was T.J. McConnell's rookie last year. You know what I'm saying? So T.J. probably gave him work a lot of times. He probably also showed him a lot of things. But yesterday, I mean Saturday, they're opposite teams. Opposite teams. Time to go after that man. Now, Shake has to bounce back. Shake Milton has to bounce back tonight, and he's going to have some stiff competition because Derek White and DeJounte Murray are two very good young defenders in the backcourt. Two very, very good defenders. Can they be cooked? Yes. Yes. But Shake has to regain that. He has to regain that. Lost in all of this, Tobias Harris drops 30. Grabs you 8 boards on 12 of 29, 3 of 8 from deep. And I know it was 30, and I don't mean to do this because it was 30. You got 41 from Simmons, 30 from Harris. I mean, Embiid, 19 from Simmons. I always say this, and I'm like, I feel bad because I'm like, I need him to get like 22, right? And he gets you to 19 to 22. I need that on average in the playoffs. He drops 30 like we ask, but it seemed like it didn't, like, do anything. Am I wrong when I say his? You know when I ask for Tobias Harris to drop the 30 here? I say I need 30 impactful points from him. I want to feel those 30. When T.J. Warren had 29, of course, in the first half, you feel all of those 29. I want to feel those 30 from Tobias. And I just keep having that thing of, it's kind of quiet. Quiet 30. Can you have a quiet 30? Yeah, I guess you can, but you guys know what I'm saying. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 745. So we have an abbreviated one before we get to Sixers Spurs basketball, 8 o'clock. Brian Seltzer, 750 on the pregame coverage. Josh Rabick producing. Spider in South Philly. Spider.
Going on, Devon. How you feeling tonight, bro?
Hey, man, we got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, we do, man. I just don't understand how everybody was falling for that. Oh, we got our chemistry together, this and that and everything, when they never was together playing during the pandemic break. Like, I could see if they was having practices together or something like that and was balling. For them to come out and make those statements talking about we just fixed all our problems, I don't see how anybody thought that was even possible.
Yeah, I see the babies agreeing as well because, you know what I'm saying?
That's young babe right there. Yeah, man.
But look, like, you know, I actually thought, Spider, I thought that with them getting back here in Philadelphia before they left for Orlando, having the time in Orlando to practice, then the scrimmages, even though they didn't have an opportunity to see the starting five out there, I thought that was enough because they played before things went on pause and Shake Milton had a nice 9-game stretch there, even though Simmons wasn't out there. And
hey,
it wasn't.
I'm sorry, bro. I don't want to cut you off.
No,
but
go.
I don't know if I got that much time. But listen, my whole thing is this. We put up 121 points. Sure. Where was the defense? I don't want to hear anybody talk about the people that was on the floor, what Brett putting out there. We scored 121. So the offense was doing its job. We didn't have any defense out there, man, and that's the core problem. If you guys score 130 every night to win a game, something's wrong.
Well, when you do that and you guys score 130, I agree with you. You give up the 127, and we talk about defense. That starts and ends with Simmons and Embiid, and Simmons gave up like 28 of that.
Whew, I know.
Come on.
I keep hearing y'all talking about how he's a defensive player of the year candidate and all that.
Well, I said all defense. He's not a candidate or defensive player of the year.
Other people on this station been saying that.
Okay, well, I say all NBA defense, which is true.
Okay.
He deserves to be one of those top 10 guys that make those two teams. He does deserve that. It's only one game here, and
right,
the voting.
True,
we know that. Yeah. Let's not hold that over him for that, but for Saturday, we absolutely hold that over his head.
We better not lose tonight. That's all I know. We can't lose to this team tonight.
No,
we
you should not. You better not.
We better not.
They have won two games, and they are now two games behind Memphis for that eighth spot in the Western Conference, and they are now in the mix.
We better lose to them. I don't care what they in. We better not lose to them. That's all I know.
I hear you. Let's talk later, man.
All right. Have a good night.
You got it. You too, man. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Chris because we got to, again, get to 745. Chris in Jersey, how you doing?
Devon, I'm good, man. Listen, I want to let you know. So I live in Monmouth County. I'm like right near Mercer County. I grew up there. So I'm in between New York and Philly. I'm a New York sports fan. I'm a Knicks fan. But I listen to you all the time and all Philly sports radio. I love it, to be honest. And I have called him before. I'm looking at this like this. You're right. Keep Embiid in there. I'm 43, so I'm 90s basketball all day long. Embiid, play. Call the timeout. Just like you said. Give him the breather. Put him back in. Ride him. Like, you're the star. Be the, you know what? I'm a Knicks fan. Be Patrick Ewing. Be the Warrior. Be out there. You want to be the face. You want to be the leader. Do it. I got to be honest with you. I don't see this team doing much of anything. And I'm not a Sixers fan, but I'll tell you this. If they were a small business in a shopping center that you drive by every day, they'd be out of business in 6 months. That's who they are. There's no organization. There's no plan. Brett Brown, all right, he's an okay coach. He knows basketball. But you know what? I think it comes down to the players. Your calls before are spot on with the urgency. No urgency. No, like, let's just grind it out. I mean, you got a guy Warren, I've never even heard of, scored 50-something points.
Yeah, 53. He was in a great rhythm, Chris. Great rhythm.
I mean, it was. Simmons had to be better.
Yeah.
When I hear the Sixers, I'm like, man, I wish they were the Knicks. At least you have something going on. You have potential. But, I mean, it's almost like that old line in the Bronx Tale. There's nothing worse than, like, untapped potential or somebody who hasn't lived up to their potential. And what I see is, I see this, like, great hype with the Sixers. I've been listening to you for 3 years talking about the Sixers and everything else. And Embiid, and unfortunately, and this is a New York guy talking, it's the same story. There's like nothing in shit. It's like listening to the.
It doesn't matter that you're in New York. The Philadelphia people feel the same way, Chris.
And I love the Philly people. You guys are like, the passion is so great, and I love it because I'm right in the middle. And I grew up in a town, everybody's Eagles fans or Sixer fans or Knicks fans or Jets fans or whatever they were. But I'm saying to myself, man, I look at the Sixers and I see a team that could be great. And maybe it's the coach, maybe it's not. I know everybody wants Brett Brown out of there, but I see it as Embiid. I see. I don't know if he's your guy going forward. And Simmons, hey, man, shoot the rock.
Well,
and you know what?
And real quick,
LeBron James, I'm not a big LeBron fan at all. Look at LeBron, man. Look at this guy, how he runs the team with the fire and the passion. I don't like his complaining about foul calls all the time, but my God, like, look to the leader of the NBA and say, I want to be this guy.
Well, of course. And that's what we want, Chris, from... Thanks for the call, man. That's what we want from Simmons. We know we ask for the same thing. We want him to have that fire. You can't teach that, though. He has to have that. If he doesn't have that, let me do it to him one more time before we go to break. Aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. 610-632-0975. Final segment upcoming. We go to 745 before we hand it off to Brian Seltzer for the pregame coverage and then Tom McGinnis on the game call. Sixers Spurs. 610-632-0975 in the Phillies. Already. Yankees back on the field. 1-0. Right here in the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
729 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. Sixers Spurs. Game 2 of the seeding games for the 76ers. That is tonight at 8 o'clock right here on The Fanatic with Tom McGinnis on the game call. Brian Seltzer once again on the pregame coverage. They need to get this W. Am I wrong about Tobias Harris? You can tell me if I'm wrong. I was just throwing it out there because he had 30. And 30 is 30, but he had 29 shots to put up the 30. And I'm always asking for an impactful 30. And he has some good moments, but you know, maybe I'm wrong. Let's keep it going. Let's run these so we can give everybody a chance. Aaron in Drexel Hill. What's up, Aaron?
Devon, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? What did you think?
Not much. Listen, I'm getting my thoughts first. You are wrong about Harris, man. That's what he does, man. He's a consistent bucket getter, right? And so his numbers is not supposed to be the over-the-top. And Beans is supposed to be the impactful numbers. Simmons is supposed to give you that, oh, I didn't even expect that. And boom, we get the victory type of deal, which is what we should have had when you get Embiid getting 40, him getting 30, and Ben getting 19 points. We should have won that game.
Oh, no question. Yeah, your three best players give you the amount of points that they gave you. You have to go out there. They give you 90 points. You got to win that game.
Exactly. Number two, Brett Brown, short of winning the championship this year, he has to go. Okay. I just point blank, period. If he doesn't win the chip, he has to go. We've seen it time and time again. Lack of adjustment, unintelligent substitutions and rotations that don't make any sense. It just didn't make any sense. The other night, this is just like football analogy. If your tackle is getting killed all night long by the other team's best pass rusher,
yes,
you throw a tight end over there to help out. Help. You throw a running back to chip. Where was Ben's help? That was the thing that frustrated me the most. But you saw him killing him, and as you guys said, the down pitch, the screens. It wasn't like he had the ball in his hand and he was James Harden cooking you through the dribble. He was literally coming off of picks and screens all night long, catching, shooting, and yet nobody was coming over the top, helping out whenever Ben was getting picked down, things of that nature. So that's my frustration with Brett with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my other frustration with Brett is when the whole idea came about putting Shake into the starting lineup, this is where I got so frustrated with Brett. His unintelligence is to come out and say, we've been playing Ben at the four. And he just came out and said, we're going to put Shake in the starting lineup, and you still run your system the way you run your system. I don't think we have the problem. By saying that we're going to put Ben at the four and put the ball in Shake's hand, you put an immense amount of pressure onto Shake to be something that, honestly, he's not. At best, he's a backup point guard. But he's really, as you said, a combo guard, right? Mm-hmm. His best attribute is his ability to shoot. Well, if he got the ball in his hand and you're asking him to facilitate and get other people open, do all this, then you're taking away his ability to do best, which is shoot and which is score.
Mm-hmm.
Your best playmaker. All night long, this is what frustrated me about Ben. I think you're aggressive, Ben is the best man, but this is also what frustrates me about Brett. If you look at that whole entire game, highlights and everything, anytime Ben didn't have the ball in his hand, he was just like jogging down the court because he really didn't have no idea what he was supposed to do. Outside of come back up at the top of the free throw line, catch the ball, and then try to make a play. And I've been telling people this from the gate. You can cut me off after this. Ben playing in the post is the dumbest idea in the world. Because we talked about his speed and his quickness. That's all negated when he goes automatically into a post position. That speed is negated. He can't go downhill when he's catching the ball in a post position. And he's having to either turn around and try to face somebody or he's trying to back somebody down. You lose all that speed. It's like when LeBron James gets the ball at the top of the key. You already know LeBron trying to go from the three-throw line all the way to the rim.
Yeah, but Aaron, 2 points is 2 points. If he can quick over the shoulder, which he does jump hook over either with a smaller defender on him.
That's when he's deep post.
All right, so you're talking about mid post?
I'm talking about like when he's catching, as we saw, when he's catching the ball, when he's getting the ball at the free throw line.
Yeah.
That's not deep post. And then also,
I still think he has an opportunity, Aaron. Thanks for the call, man. We got to keep it moving. I still think he has an opportunity to turn and still go downhill because of his speed and his strength to that first step. It's going to be a problem. He has to finish. He can't get cute with his finesse layups. Go finish. Or if you do get cute with the finesse layups, jump off the correct foot and lay it up with the right hand, you're good to go. Keith Pompey, Inside the Bubble, a quote from Brett Brown. They're asking about Simmons' shooting, and Aaron was talking about how he is using him within the offense. Sixers Brett Brown on Ben Simmons not shooting a three since first scrimmage. This is Keith's tweet. The quote, I feel like his head is in a good place to shoot it. It didn't produce statistically that option that last game where he was hesitant on a play. Yes, he was. But I don't see it as a trepidation or lack of confidence. Well, he had an opportunity to shoot the ball a few times. I'm not going crazy. The one play I brought up earlier where he should have shot the basketball, clock was running down, hot potatoed it to Joel Embiid, and Embiid is now taking a one-foot fader like Jokic from deep. You don't do that. Understanding time and situation on the shot clock and who has the ball. He has to be better. Devin in Westchester. What's up, Devin?
What's going on, Devon?
How you doing?
Hey, man. So, look, I'm excited about the restart, right? I don't got cable. I got to get the YouTube TV, $65. The only way you get ABC so you can watch the finals. I'm in the velour suit. I got the Avon Barksdale shades on. I'm on the couch. And I got to watch Raul Neto?
Yes.
It's corny. Brett Brown's corny. I don't want to hear that talk about Ben's, why he's not shooting. He sounds like a guidance counselor. Corny. What did Richardson do the whole game? I can't think of one play.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Like, he had 4 points,
one play.
2 of 4. He's lost in what they were doing, man. I don't know.
And to answer your question, the man, Tobias, only puts up empty stats like that. 1 out of every 10 games, it's a meaningful. And the rest of the time, it's always like you're watching the Sixers and you're hating what you're watching at the end. And Tobias for 28. You're like, what? This is it's only meaningless games. The man never comes up when we need him to.
Mm, yeah. And again, man, I don't know. And I feel like I'm a little hard on him because I like him and Aaron's not wrong. He's a volume scorer and he needs
more.
His touches.
I expect him more.
Yeah. And maybe it's because he needed 29 shots to get the 30 points, something like that. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little unfair to him, but 30 is 30. Hopefully he can get another 30 tonight and help them out.
And listen, you know how I feel about Brett Brown. That's not even worth rehashing. But every time, you know, I'm thinking back to the end of the regular season and now this bubble season, I'm starting to just stare and confuse. It's like, who put this team together? Elton, you replace who? You replace JJ, you replace shooting around Ben who doesn't shoot. It's a known fact that he doesn't. Hopefully he does start, but we know he doesn't. That's our known. You replace it with what? Howard Herbert's about the length of this team, the defensive potential. We were getting picked to win the East. I stopped hearing about that like 10 games into the season.
Hey, man, you know me. I was like, they are the best team in the Eastern Conference, Devin. They need to make sure they go out there and do that. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. They needed to do that, and they did not. Anthony in West Philly next. What's up, Ant?
What's going on, D?
Hey, man. Trying to put us all in the right place after I vent a little bit earlier, but hopefully we get there and they get a W tonight.
Well, you know exactly where I'm going at, man.
I know where you're going. Head coach, I know.
I'm out. I'm out. And I'm going to be honest with you, Devon. I heard what you said a little earlier about COVID, and there might be a chance that we have to keep that dude.
You know what I'm saying, though, right?
I'm out.
Hold on, but you know what I'm saying, though, right?
I kind of feel like I get it.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to make an excuse for him to come back because you know how I feel. I gave him credit for the 50-plus win seasons. However, you know I've never been the biggest Brett Brown guy. That being said, you know what it is. It's it's another thing that it could be in his favor.
Is it an excuse that they can use to try to keep him around? But this is my problem with that. So now that means that we're going to waste another year of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons together. You know, like I know, if that thing don't work again next year, somebody got to go.
I need
to get a proper evaluation of the team with a different coach. I don't even think I can properly evaluate them.
100%.
I just don't understand and don't fathom how you sit here and you talk about we got this chemistry and you're going to put Shake at the one and those dudes wasn't even, what are they going to do with Giannis if they have to play Milwaukee? If you let TJ Warren give you 53, what will Giannis do?
Mm-hmm. We've seen him put up big numbers, yeah, against the Sixers,
It's just really, really heartbreaking to see, man, knowing that they got all this potential, and they not living up to it, man. And then Al Horford, I kind of feel like they kind of, that was a waste. So now you're going to kind of lose out on him because you gave him all that money, and I guarantee they're not going to get what they actually gave him in regards to productivity or even another player that can kind of even come in and kind of help because of that contract that they kind of gave Al Horford. I think that kind of is going to hurt him for next year.
Well, yeah, it already has, man. It already has, to be perfectly honest with you. And it's a shame, too, because they had things lined up. It looked the right way, whether it was with Jimmy Butler and some draft picks that they hit on, but they missed and make trades and all that. And it's tough to go back on those things, but here we are, man. Right now, it's going to fall now. All these changes you made personnel-wise, you know where it's going to fall next, to your point, and that's going to be the head coach.
Yeah, and it has to. And you can see them. They miss JJ and Jimmy.
Oh,
you
no question.
Oh, my God. Like, that, yeah. It's like, you can see it.
You know, question. You know how I feel about JJ and, of course, Jimmy Butler. And we'll talk, man. Hopefully, they get this win. We'll talk on tomorrow and see where they go from here. Have a good one. Enjoy the game, man.
All right, G.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. Let's keep it moving. 7:45. We want to get everybody in. We got a couple more calls. We can make it with EJ and Sean. Let's go to EJ. What's up, bro?
Devon, dropping the bomb. What's going on, my man? How you, good brother?
What's going on, my man?
Oh, man, mad as I don't know what.
I know. I know how you feel about this team, so go ahead.
It's not even that. It's like we've been cooking out and barbecuing. I'm up down area. I got a backyard now, so we've been cooking out and tailgating every day since the NBA been back.
Look at that.
And now I can't tailgate because of T.J. Warren like rain. Boy, he made it rain down on him, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Come on. Bro, listen, where is the scouting report? Yeah. I'm not the best basketball statistician in the world, but even I know T.J. Warren and the boy from the Nets, Dinwiddie, kill us every time they play us. We have a habit of giving up career highs to people who never get career highs against anybody else against us. Now, how are we supposed to be this elite defensive, athletic, and life team who is going to win the championship based on defense when you're giving up 53 points to T.J. Warren and you have no in-game adjustment to stop it? Mm-hmm. Number two, you talk about Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris is Bobby Abreu. A bunch of worthless statistics. Worthless. Mm-hmm. Absolutely worthless, Devon. Yeah. And insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
Man. And we insane if we think this triumvirate of no heart having non-Philadelphia-based dudes is going to bring us a championship. And I'd be ecstatic to see what Greg Popovich would be able to do with this team, being as that we're playing Coach Pop tonight, being as that this guy must be the least Coach Popovich bloodline guy in the world, because I don't understand it. The gentleman before me made a wire quote. I'm going to make a wire quote, and I'm going to quote Avon Barksdale. When I look at Brett Brown, you know what I see? I see a man without a country. He's not tough enough for the hardcore, rough and rumble Philadelphia basketball. And maybe, just maybe, he ain't the smart basketball genius that Greg Popovich says that he is, because any smart basketball genius would know to have put some help on T.J. Warren.
That was my
any
thing.
Smart basketball genius would know that you cannot take your best two players out of the game in the crunch. And if the team makes a run, you automatically call a timeout.
Send a double team. Exactly. And that was my thing. EJ, we got to keep it pushing, man. Listen, enjoy the game. We'll talk. Hopefully you guys get the cookout before the rain, if it's not raining already. Sean in Pine Hill, my man, you're closing this down. Sean, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, Devon? Long time no talk, bro.
I know, man. Hope you're good, man.
So we finally seen Embiid didn't like a shake. You know what I mean? He probably didn't like a shake.
Nah, and he talked glowingly about shake a couple of weeks ago, not on Saturday.
But here's my thing. Like, all right, I think shake was put in this position to be a leader, which I feel bad for because I don't think he is. He's a ninth bench player. They're trying to make it whatever, but he was trying to get an Embiid there. You never see Simmons do that, and whatever. And here's the other thing. The guy was talking about Tobias Harris. What did Harris have last night? How many points?
He had 30 on 29
30
shots.
Points, right? Yeah. And then the other superstar did what?
19, exactly. But he had 13 boards, 4 assists.
Yeah, but he had 4 assists.
Yeah.
So he's the passing machine in the 4 role. So what I'm saying is our two superstars, Embiid stepped up. Harris had to come out and carry us. You need 3 players in the NBA to carry you through. Wow. It's one game. I think that this team's not prepared. They're not well coached. Look at the Flyers.
No, I know. And we talked
about came out and what they
we talked about Vigneault and his impact. And Sean, hey man, don't be a stranger, man. We need to talk to you more. Enjoy the game. We'll talk. No doubt about it. Yeah, we talked about that. But listen, we'll talk more after the game. We'll go in the post after Sixers Spurs. Coming up next, Brian Seltzer, then Tom McGinnis, Josh Rabick. I'm Devon Gibbs. We'll be back in the post after the game right here on the Fanatic. Enjoy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.